Paris. Yes, very appropriate music, April in Paris. Yes, it's the Roundtable Panel, 14 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Thursday. For the moment, beautiful. And it's so nice to see that yellow thing up in the sky again. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue today.
That's
and it's
funny.
The Roundtable Panel. You just keep playing with your iPhone.
No,
there,
I'm trying to tweet that we're on the air.
You're tweeting?
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll
now
be darned. Well, there's a first for everything.
Tweet.
Alan Shartok is here. He's on the panel. Also, communications consultant Teresa Bourgeois and publisher emeritus of the Daily Freeman, Ira Fussfeld. And you, of course, can email us and weigh in on the items we discussed today, panel@wamc.org. Keep the letters short, to the point. Don't include links. Don't use abbreviations, or we will go all Mr. Met on you. Again, it's panel@wamc.org.
I don't get the reference. What do you mean, Mr. Met?
I was going to comment, had I had the opportunity, which you've now given me, that I was. I think it's great. I think it's great that Ray has found work so quickly after he lost his job as being Mr. Met. He had a little serious incident last night, and you were very kind to bring Ray.
You know, you're not the first
morning
person to say, "Oh, Ray, you did really well as
well,
Mr. Met last night."
Explain for the most of us who don't care
Mr.
about
Mr. Met. The Mets had a little tough outing yesterday, and Mr.
Which
Met,
they always have, right?
Mr. Met was upset, and he told the fans they were number one.
It would have been his middle finger, but he only has four fingers. But
I still am out in the cold.
He gave the fans the
Mr. Met. The Mets.
Who is Mr. Met?
Oh, good heavens! It's not Ed Cranepool. It's that big-headed.
Okay.
The mascot.
Yeah, you know the mascot.
Oh, so he did it. He did the dirty.
He flipped the bird to the.
But he only has four fingers.
That ain't right. What about the Children of America?
Exactly.
Presumably, the Children of New York City have probably seen that before.
Oh, I don't know,
Mr. Meadows,
but not for
apology.
Mr. Met.
No, well, he did, and he apologized, and everything's
fine. Gave everybody
fine
a big wave.
At any rate, welcome, Mr. Met.
Oh, you know what? The fun drive is coming,
oh,
Alan.
Yes.
I couldn't. The anticipation grows more and more each moment.
We're all in it together, and I mean that. And this morning on my morning commentary, I was just holding my head, saying, "How could it be that Donald Trump is thinking, and we're hearing, getting out of the Paris Accords?" And he's a 70-year-old man with children and grandchildren, and what could this guy be thinking about reintroducing coal into America so it gets into people's lungs? I don't get it at all. I think this is irresponsibility. I say that because here we are. A fun drive is here. We know that he wants to kill public radio. We know that it's not in his budget. He wants us taken out. We have to do it for ourselves. So we set up a lockbox. And then every day we hear from two people, usually the same people, who say, "Stop talking about why you need money." Sorry, Jake. That's not the way we do it here. We're all in this together. We've all made it. There are 400,000 people who listen to this radio station every month. Think about that. 400,000 people. There are about 20,000 people who are members of WAMC.
Mm-hmm.
And those 20,000, God bless them, are the best of the best of the best, because they know that unless there's participation, they're out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, so the lockbox as of right now.
At WAMC.org.
WAMC.org, you make a very good point, is at 431-393.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, well, it is. We need $69,000, but we only have today, which is Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we have to assume it ain't going to happen on Saturday and Sunday. You and I will be sitting there at 6 a.m. on Monday morning for the fun drive.
Which is
so
when
now, so we basically have 2 days. Ladies and gentlemen, if there was ever a time to get going, this is it.
So the goal is to get to 500,000 in the lockbox before the on-air drive begins? Is that correct?
That is right. And then we get $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation.
Okay.
Now look, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I want to tell you. Our great friends at Tanglewood know of our plight. It's unbelievable how generous they are. Mark Volpe, manager. It's unbelievable how generous they've been with us. They'll give us, if you pledge $100, you get a lawn, an undated lawn pass. Now, during the fun drive, Ray, you don't remember this. We'd always say, we'd always wait to give out the Tanglewood tickets, right? Because we knew that everybody wanted them.
Yeah.
And the ones that were the most popular are the lawn passes. And why were they popular? Because you could go anytime.
Oh, the undated.
The undated one.
I gotcha.
So now, for $100, We're going to give you a pair of undated lawn passes. And if you want two pair, bring the kiddies and bring your wife.
Right.
Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Two pair of undated lawn passes for $150.
So that's right now at WAMC.
And only right now.
To feed the lockbox. And now, there are certain limitations. Now, these are it is valid for Tanglewood on Parade, which is August 1st. The available concerts are on Tanglewood's website. It's not for the rock shows, the popular artists,
et cetera. Oh, no, right. But however, you know, I don't know that people really need that stuff. It's not
the information.
Always good for them. No. You know, going to the rock shows.
Oh.
Although there are wonderful things like Joan Baez, you know, Emmylou Harris coming there, but those are different, and those are not included in this deal.
Right, you are.
So it's a hell of a deal, $150 for a pledge at your radio station, and you know you want to keep it alive, and you know you want to be one of those 20,000 who care about the station. And 400,000 people every month, think about that, folks. Please, don't let that happen to you. It's not right.
WAMC.org. Tell you what, Rob the engineer, let's take a break and then we'll get into our show with the Paris Accord and a decision coming up on that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Dr. Lucy Chapek, Latham, New York, practicing aesthetic plastic surgery, working to help people improve their appearance and well-being. A surgeon's hands, a woman's touch. CAPEKplasticsurgery.com. SPAC, celebrating the 100th year of jazz with the 40th annual Fryoffer Saratoga Jazz Festival, featuring 24 artists on two stages over 2 days, June 24th and 25th. SPAC.org for details and tickets. H. Houst & Son True Value Woodstock, since 1932, a store for summer projects, grills, and party supplies. True value. Behind every project is a true value. HHoust.com. Clipcentric Albany, a local video services division of Clipcentric, producing video advertisements for businesses throughout the capital region for web, mobile, and TV. Albany.clipcentric.com. And New York Pain Management, Drs. Charles Gordon and Quentin Fung, offering management of chronic pain and spine care in a private office setting in Clifton Park and Glens Falls. 518-371-0777.
Thank you, Rob, the engineer, for Basie today here on the Roundtable. Thursday morning, 9:22, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, and the panel is Ira Fussfeld, Alan Chartok, and Teresa Bourgeois. President Donald Trump says he'll announce his decision on whether he'll pull the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accord during a Rose Garden event today. Trump says on Twitter he'll be making the announcement about 3 p.m. He ends the tweet with his campaign slogan, Make America Great Again. A senior White House official said yesterday the president was expected to withdraw from the agreement. Officials cautioned the details are still being finalized, and he has been known to change his mind on major decisions at the last minute. Sweden's U.N. ambassador says a U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement would be a disappointment to the rest of the world and would hurt American interests. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker says President Trump doesn't comprehensively understand the terms of the climate accord. China now says it'll work with the European Union to uphold the international agreement on climate change, even if the U.S. pulls out.
Well, I got a number of things to say about this. Number one, Ivanka, they're leaking it all over the place, is opposed to her father's position on this. I don't know why they're doing that, except that it may well be that she wants to preserve her own integrity or her own perceived integrity by saying that. Number two, this guy, President Trump, has not been able to deliver on most of his promises. In other words, he couldn't deliver on Obamacare and the ACA. So this is, I think he may be making the mistake to think that by pulling out, it becomes a way that he can show that he did something he said during the campaign. But from my perspective, I don't get it. I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's a 70-year-old man. He has children, he has grandchildren. We are hearing, if you listen to NPR this morning, about the coral reefs all over the world going down because the temperature in the oceans is getting higher. We see that there are islands that are going to disappear, and I mean disappear, as a result of all of this. There is still so much soot and carbon dioxide and the rest of that floating around, and he doesn't seem to get it. He doesn't seem to care. That is, in my mind, sick.
Teresa, you're the policy wonk on this panel. Now, as I understand the accord, maybe you can explain it better for us. It is more or less a voluntary. Countries are
standards.
They will set their own voluntary standards and then report back on how they have met those standards. Is that correct?
Well, there are targets that they've agreed to meet. Everybody agrees to meet the targets. They set their mechanisms for meeting those targets. The targets are to reduce emissions, right? But there is no penalty if you don't meet the targets. I mean, they're not, but if the U.S. does pull out of the agreement, then we lose a seat at the table for negotiations. It will be a terrible, terrible sign to the rest of the world, and it will be a real benefit to China, because then they will take a leadership position. When Donald Trump talks jobs, 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 well, if he pulls out of this agreement, he's losing the opportunity to drive innovation and create jobs in what many perceive globally as a big new area for innovation and economic opportunity around the world. But yes, these are targeted emission standards.
But he said, I just don't get it. Is he really so small that the only thing that matters is going to that little base of his, that minority base in this country, who he thinks voted for him because of coal?
Well, in this case, he'd be delivering not to that base, but to the Koch brothers. I mean, I think that this is a payoff
Koch
to the Koch brothers.
Koch is what you use to make coal, or you use coal to make Koch, or coal is Koch.
Different spelling.
Right. Well, I just find myself nodding at both of you because I agree with both of what you said there. We are going to, first of all, we don't know what he's going to do. He sets this up at 3 o'clock today. It's like the game show reality time. He's ginning up that event. So we don't know what he's going to do. But without question, if he pulls out of this agreement, he is withdrawing the U.S. from a leadership role on something that is vitally important in this world. I believe, as Alan mentioned, that if he does this, it's because he is able to do this unilaterally and can keep a campaign promise.
But promise to the Koch brothers, to his funders,
That's too far down in the onion. Whatever his motivation, he went through the campaign saying we were going to get out of this agreement. So he didn't say why beyond that he thought it was a job killer.
And by the way, I don't think that the Koch brothers were big fans of Donald Trump.
No, I don't think so.
By the way, I'm not sure, but I suspect that—
But who's the constituency for getting out of this?
The people who voted for him in the key states, which he won— where he thought that they were going to vote for him
was going to cost jobs.
Yeah. I suspect that not many on this panel read Rich Lowry, but Rich Lowry's piece in the Post yesterday said the shrewdest option would be to submit the agreement to the Senate for ratification, where it would certainly be rejected. So Trump could pass the buck.
Right.
Theoretically.
That's the James Baker point of view, that what this thing really is a treaty, and that Obama pushed it through as an executive order without going through a step that he should have gone through, according to Baker, which is to send it to the Senate. And if the Senate reacts and represents the public, then we'll get a sense as to whether or not the American public really want this agreement. So that's a fair comment to make.
Well, they already know that it wouldn't be ratified because 21 senators, Republican senators, yesterday or the day before, sometime in the last few days, sent up a letter to the White House telling him to withdraw from the accord. So it's highly unlikely, although there might be public pressure. But the other thing—
Say that again. 21 senators did what?
They sent up a letter to the White House urging President Trump to withdraw from
the Paris Agreement.
Yeah, but I think there are enough Republicans, if it's a straight majority vote and if all the Democrats stay together, which is likely, I don't think it would be hard for him for this to get more than 50 votes.
Well, I think for a treaty you need more than
50. Is that right? Yeah.
I am not exactly sure about that. Our listeners may know.
I will look that up. But I believe
well, we're going to take a break here in a minute anyway. So you want to read one letter? We have about a minute here, if you like.
In or out, says Dave. Nothing changes. Coal is never coming back. Utilities have planned and are making investments based on the long term. Auto manufacturers design years in advance. The world sees Trump as a speed bump, and he is just biding their time. And that's from Dave.
All right, Dave.
The other one?
Well, what the heck?
Okay. Isn't that the Congress did not It says here, isn't that the Congress and not the president that ratifies treaties?
Okay, we just brought that up.
Right, the problem is that they didn't go through a treaty process when President Obama signed the accord because he could not go through a treaty process.
According to Lowry, the President Obama then postulated that this was an executive agreement and not a treaty.
Right.
Well, okay, and John says, it amazes me when people say it is unthinkable that the U.S. could withdraw from the Paris Accords. Democracy Now! Covered during the negotiation of these Paris Accords had speaker after speaker discussing how the problem with the Accords was that they were non-binding. If this had been done in a treaty with a congressional support, then the president would not be able to do what he is doing.
Okay, we got to leave it right there, and we're going to take a break here. The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. We have Ira Fussfeld, we have Alan Shartok, and we have Teresa Bourgeois on the panel, and we would love to hear from you. Try not to include links. Keep the letters short. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:34 on your Thursday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. The Roundtable panel is here. We have Teresa Bourgeois, and we have Ira Fussfeld, and we have Alan Shartok. Some breaking news.
Yeah, well, breaking news is that we now need to get to the $500,000 mark, we need $434,413 for all of you who are behind the station, who are members of the station, for all of you who can do something right now. We are getting close, but we only have today and tomorrow basically to get it done in, although we do have the weekend. Please, everybody, if you're one of the 400,000 people who's not a member yet, we really need your help, because otherwise this whole experiment, which is fragile, doesn't work.
And you can call at 800-323-9262, however, Lockbox, we love your e-pledges at our website, wamc.org.
And remember that right now, and only right now, you get a pair of undated lawn passes, $100 for two of them, a pair. $150, you get two pair. It's a deal.
Yeah, and that's the BSO or Boston Pops.
And don't be calling me up later on and saying that you didn't get it. Couldn't we find it? No, they just give us a certain amount, and thank God for that.
So as Charlie Parker said, now's the time.
Charlie Parker said that.
The Paris Accord, well, we'll find out what President Trump thinks about that today. He tweeted out that he'll be making the announcement on whether the U.S. will pull out of the Paris Accord today at 3 p.m., and that's what we talked about in the first portion of the program. And Teresa, you wanted to go in a little further.
Yeah, one of the things I think is important to remember is that Donald Trump and his administration have already taken a number of steps that will make it difficult for the U.S. to meet the targets. The targets are 26 to 28% reduction in our greenhouse gas emissions by 2025. And so even if he says that we're staying in, if he announces today we're staying in, he has already made it difficult to achieve those goals. The Clean Power Plan that President Obama put in place, requiring all fossil fuel plants to reduce their carbon emissions, he's trying to reduce that. He's trying to kill that along with fuel efficiency standards. He's reduced the EPA budget by 31%. They're, cutting now. And they're even at the EPA's trying to defund the Voluntary Energy Star consumer labeling programs. And they're cutting funding for important climate change monitoring. So there's a whole series of steps that they have already taken that will make it harder and harder for the U.S. to meet these standards. Now, the reverse, that's the bad news. On the positive side, states like California, the governor of California, they are trying to counter this by taking steps within the states.
Sure, the states are going to do it for themselves.
The states are trying, and so so that this is a problem, even if by chance, all the reports are that he's going to say we're getting out of the agreement today.
Well, we had one person write in, Teresa, let me ask you this, and wants to know, under what authority he can pull out. We've already explained it a number of times. Go ahead and do it one more time.
Well, that this was done by President Obama through executive order outside the treaty process. Now, if they do, in fact, there's some speculation, as Ray noted, that, some of the Republicans say, well, let's just send up a bill to the Senate, or, some Trump people say, let's send up a treaty to the Senate and see if they ratify it. Well, as you noted at the break, it requires 2/3 of a vote of the Senate to ratify an agreement, and so that
so would not be likely.
It not be likely, and so that, but then he could, it could be not on his shoulders. He could put it on the Senate shoulders. Now then, he's of course putting it on the Senate shoulders when they have many, many senators up for election, and we'll see where the American people stand on this.
Very good
point. Is he going to force a vote? You know, he's already forced the health care vote on the House side, putting a lot of those seats in danger. Is he now going to force a vote on the Senate side? I mean, I think it'd be interesting to see what would happen if they did force a vote.
Okay. So we've heard from a few other people, Ray. Alan's suggestion that people don't need the rock shows at Tanglewood is completely off base.
Yeah, you see.
That is, considering the broad range of interest of WMC listening public, many of us, the WMC supporters, enjoy the breadth of offerings that Tanglewood and other organizations offer. If I gave anybody the impression that's my position. It is not.
You were just meaning that the tickets were for the
That's right. I do love Tanglewood. I love Mark Volpe and everything he does over there. I fully understand who they're having on their programs. People like Emmylou Harris and Joan Baez and others. This is
James
not.
Taylor.
This is not right. This is not exactly. You know, hard rock. Let's put it that way.
So you don't like the hard rock?
I don't.
Okay.
I thought Ted Nugent, you were a big Ted Nugent
yeah.
fan.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sure.
Who is that?
Intensities in 10 Cities, one of the seminal live albums.
Yeah. Ted Nugent is...
You're not going to see Metallica?
No, but Ted Nugent, although not in the same way that Kathy Griffin screwed up her career with this.
It's unclear whether she did screw it up.
Well, you argued about that yesterday. I think she hurt herself. But Ted Nugent was very vociferous in anti-Obama and anti-Clinton rhetoric that was dangerous, in my view.
Okay. Now, remember, Ted's last hit was 1977,
yes,
so there was not a lot to lose at that
right.
point.
Right, his yeah. career was done. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, that's so thank you, Danny, for raising that, just in case there was anybody who got it wrong. This one says from Chris, Dear Alan, I was subverted by Yiddishkeit in grade school before I knew what being Jewish meant because the older brother of a friend had a stack of 1950s Mads. So it was a joy to hear you say for Schlugener twice in the last couple of months.
And a million times in the last couple of years.
Dear panel, please ask Teresa to explain under what authority President Trump can unilaterally decide to withdraw from the Paris. We did that climate agreement. Mm-hmm. We did that, and you did it very well. David said, good morning, panel.
Good morning.
Would participating in the Paris Agreement prevent the Trump administration from executing oil and energy deals with Russia? I don't see why. I don't see why.
We're free agents.
Yeah. Gina says, astounding that Trump just got back from meeting the Pope and having a long discussion about global warming. Did he not learn anything from that discussion? I wonder what the Pope will think if Trump withdraws.
And I don't wonder whether Trump cares. He will not care what the Pope thinks.
He might like what the Pope thinks. In other words, he might really. This is a guy.
He might have been moved by receiving the encyclical.
He gets sort of gets emotionally off on. The idea that, people don't like him. I think this is a guy who thinks somehow.
But again, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, we're all sorry.
Well, we may be surprised at 3 o'clock today. He may say, I found the light.
I found religion.
Remember,
I found religion. I read the encyclical.
And
but,
remember, he did that with oh boy, my poor ancient
NATO.
Not NATO.
NAFTA.
He said I
was going to get out of NAFTA. But I think I'm channeling Judith Ink here, who is a person who I turn to on this. But even if he says today we're staying in, which will be important, I don't want to understate that. It would be a very important signal. Even if he says the U.S. is staying at the table, he's going to have to change his policies to meet the targets because the underlying policies at the Department of Energy and at EPA and at Interior, although Interior Secretary Zinke is in Alaska, he's asked about the climate agreement. He said, well, I haven't read that, so I really can't comment.
He's the Interior Secretary.
He's the Interior
Secretary
of the United States of America. He's in Alaska. Know the melting that's going on there. And he says, well, I haven't read it. When I do, I can comment on it.
Okay, am I wrong? Because here's what I think.
You're right, Alan, whatever it is.
Well, you're so sweet.
Boy, you have been here a while, Teresa. Well done.
I just think that most Americans are good people. And most Americans care about their children and their grandchildren. and everybody else on the earth. And most Americans are going to think this guy, what's a good word, is a real jerk for threatening all of those that they, the most beloved in their families and their social circles and everything else. This is a terrible thing that he's thinking about doing. I don't even know how it gets to this.
I do think, just like the tide turned on the Obamacare, the ACA, that, you know, people knew that there needed to be some improvements, but under, but overall they grew to like the bill. I do think the tide has turned on climate. And something else happened this week that's very interesting. At ExxonMobil stockholders meeting.
Yeah.
The stockholders agreement, the investors won which Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, was involved in.
Wonderful
a
man.
Shareholder vote on ExxonMobil being more transparent about how they were going to deal with the climate change issue.
And they've been pretty good, right? Exxon has been going in the right direction.
They haven't been good, but they have been moving in the right direction. They have changed their tune. But 62% majority vote in favor of the shareholder proposal calling on the oil and gas giant to, and I'm reading this, assess and disclose how it's preparing its business for the transition to a low-carbon future. And the other group that's very strong on climate change is the U.S. military. They have been way out ahead on the climate issue because they understand how important it is as a national security issue.
Oops. On the other hand, if in fact he pulls out, imagine how cruel it is for him to hold out hope for people in the coal industry who have lost their jobs that somehow they're going to get their jobs back. The coal industry is not going to come back any more than the print newspaper industry is going to come back. And you have that segment of his base, and then you add the segment of his base that is being hurt terribly by the budget proposals, the SNAP program, the food, you know, what's it called, Meals on Wheels, those kinds of programs. Many of the people who support Trump rely on these programs, and now he turns around and he's cutting these programs.
Ira, you're right, except for the coal industry is not coming back because of automation.
Yeah, whatever the reason, but he suggests we're going to have coal. It will be so beautiful. It will be like anything we've ever seen
before. But we're going to have coal, but not coal jobs. And this is why all of these industry leaders again signed a letter yesterday and urged him publicly. Some of the top leaders in industry, and even Elon Musk announced yesterday.
Yep. Sitting right next to him at the advisory table.
And where are the drumbeat of voices that are that can show that the solar and other clean energy avenues are going to generate even more jobs than what he suggested.
Well, the data already shows that. But
the data may show it, but who's reading the data other than the wonks? I mean, why? Where is the spokesman?
Okay, I am.
Where is the spokesman on pro-Paris Agreement? Where is the large? Can any of us think of a voice?
We need to take a quick break here. I apologize to everyone in the world. The email address is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org, if you want to weigh in, and then we'll be right back.
Whoa. And what's the address on the getting into the lockbox?
Oh, my gosh. Thanks, Alan. The web address is wamc.org. Make your pledge now in the lockbox, and we'll
get two or four Tanglewood tickets.
If you listen and you haven't contributed, now's the time.
If you listen and you do, then please.
Yeah, I've lost control of the show. Rob, whenever you want, go ahead and do it. You know, Rob the engineer, regardless of what conversation goes on here during the break, if you play Basie, I'm in a good mood, so I appreciate that.
Is your favorite movie Blazing Saddles when Basie shows
up nice
near the end?
That's a nice appearance, but that's not my favorite movie. Big Lebowski, right?
Oh, I just saw that for the first time.
You saw that?
For the first time.
Great movie. Oh.
The Dude Abides.
So well made in every single way.
And the name of that film was?
The Big Lebowski.
Jeff Bridges.
And there's The Godfather.
John Goodman, who's great in everything
Godfather,
he does.
Yuck.
Oh.
Go to the mattress.
All right. And Dr. Strangelove was on the other night, too, which is so
nice
to see
at
this time in our history. It's very nice.
So Samantha writes, I think this is much bigger than the Paris Agreement. Trump's America First ideology is going to force America right into the back seat, far from first. It saddens me to think that Trump is simply giving that leadership away while you can see other leaders jockeying for position to fill the void. Germany, France, now China are all saying, hey, you don't want to do that job anymore? We'll take it. This is the beginning of the end for the American hegemony.
It's true. This will cause a serious realignment. This and conjunction with what he has said on NATO?
Mike says, there are reports that Trump is going to give back those mansions in New York and Maryland that President Obama evicted the Russians from.
Yes.
When Obama kicked out the Russians, Putin's response was somewhat muted. One wonders if Putin knew that Trump would give them back. Sure looks like it. That's Mike from Glens Falls.
Well, much of the speculation about these meetings, all these various calls and meetings that happened in December of last year with Jared Kushner and
sure.
General and
now,
Flynn and others.
And now
on
our
that
attorney
very
general again, our attorney general one more time. It looks like he went to yet another meeting with the Russians with at the Mayflower. It's unbelievable. And then we see what's his name, Nunez, getting back into the fray again, even though he said he was going to.
Or yeah, or never got out.
Shocking, but not surprising.
Probably
and then,
running up with a note to the White House as we speak right now.
And then Sean Spicer yesterday at the briefing that was done off camera, and they tried to kill the audio, says that going forward, all questions on the Russian matter were going to be referred to outside
counsel.
Well,
that's probably smart. I mean, from their standpoint.
The lawyers yeah, insisting on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you've got a lawyer up on this now. Yeah. And plus, it's distracting. He's got, I mean, one of the problems that Trump has had is, and it's a lot of it is his own making with these tweets, is that he keeps taking his own agenda off the table and pushing it aside for this other stuff.
So you're right.
But let's play that out. I understand that this is a serious legal matter now. We lost control, sorry.
No, but please do.
How far do you take that? So the same day that the press secretary says that these questions are all going to the lawyer, then they put out the news that they're going to take a step back on these sanctions that President Obama put in place, and they're going to give back these two houses. So is that that's a policy matter?
They got a problem.
So is
they
the
have
lawyer,
a problem.
The lawyer's not going to discuss a policy decision about giving back these two houses.
That's a manifestation of how disorganized his White House is. They're not able to come out with one message. They've got people all over the White House doing their own thing.
Well, you don't think that came from President Trump to give back those?
Well,
they're not going to give back those houses without that. They're not going to renege on that deal, on those sanctions, without it being a presidential decision.
You'll remember that from the very beginning, one of the things that kept getting said is that if somebody has talked to the Russians or told the Russians that they are subjected to the potential for blackmail, if in fact you are in bed with the Russians. And I think that for a lot of reasons, I suspect that Trump is himself.
Literally and figuratively.
Well, figuratively.
It's been rumored at one point.
Well, that, you know, he's gotten money from them, that they've gotten money from the Russians and all the rest of it. He hasn't given back the
taxes.
They
have business deals. Kushner's have business deals.
No taxes, you know, tax forms, because that might lead there. All of that indicates to me that that the Russians may hold the upper hand here and may come back to him, and he has to do these things. When he says to the Russians, to those two Russians sitting there, right, when he says to them that this is by firing Comey, he's taking the pressure off himself, and he's bragging to those guys who, in my mind, may well be his co-conspirators in this, that's really something. Don't you see? Okay. Right. It seems to me, says Jennifer, that Trump and other super privileged people in power believe that there will always be habitable, comfortable, even pleasant places for themselves and their offspring. What is lacking is concern for the rest of us and our interdependency. Interdependency is a great word, and I like it because it brings to mind the fun drive.
But also about, you know, everybody has an option to take their own personal actions to deal with the climate issue as well. I mean, clearly we need national leadership, but we're going to hope to get leadership at the state level, but we also can at the personal level. What is each one of us going to do who's outraged about this in our own lives?
Well, James says, I think part of Trump's decision has to do with undoing everything Obama. I suspect that he thinks that the opposite of what Obama did will be popular. That's been his guiding goal, and the only thing aside from the Supreme Court pick that he's done that's been successful. I don't agree with you, James. I don't know. All the polling I'm seeing showing the Obama programs, the health program, everything else being popular, and Obama's personal popularity is very, very high. Am I wrong about that? No.
Well, I think the point that
I think Ira went to sleep.
No, I'm listening carefully here.
I think the point of the writer is that Trump wants to try to undo everything President Obama did, not necessarily that the public agrees with that, but that Trump is so
Yeah, that's right.
Fixated.
That's a good point.
I think that's
James is right about that.
James,
I agree with that.
That.
Okay, and then
I don't think Trump has any ideology. If he, to the extent that he wants to undo Obama things, I think it goes all the way back to that correspondence dinner when Obama embarrassed him.
Right.
So personal slight.
It's a personal
slight. His motivations are very transparent in my view, and they are mostly personal in nature. And they're, you know, he could not resist tweeting about Hillary yesterday.
Yeah,
he beat Hillary for whatever. He lost the popular vote, but he beat Hillary, and he's got to resurrect crooked Hillary. Why does he do that?
Well, she was out and
understand,
in a lengthy interview,
why,
which we'll talk about in the next half hour.
Why is he not turning the other way? He's already beaten her. What
You're
is
asking
he?
Him to be something he's not.
Exactly.
He showed throughout the
Remember
whole campaign.
The guy
campaign
who wrote me the letter
be?
About Yiddishkeit? And using the word verschlugene a number of times.
Oh, yeah.
Here's
you
another word. Mushugene. Okay.
So. I like verplunget. You know verplunget?
I'm sorry?
Verplunget. It means lost.
Is there some sort of Roger's Yiddish?
No, I don't know too many Yiddish words.
The joys of
Yiddish.
Do you think that Donald Trump could answer any question, detailed question on the climate?
We saw it during the debates.
He doesn't understand.
He doesn't
He called climate change a hoax. They're so afraid of it, they took down the information from the websites. I mean, they don't believe in the basic science. He doesn't understand the policy. It's all...
I commend listeners to find Jennifer Rubin's column in the Washington Post either yesterday or today, who basically says, and she is a conservative columnist, that she basically says Trump is dumb.
Good morning, panel. Once again, Trump is showing his true narcissistic, megalomaniacal nature. He's eating all this media attention right up. The world waits while he makes a decision on Paris Climate Accord. The very same media that he accuses of being unfair and fake. Thank goodness for forward-looking states and cities that are striking their own climate initiatives. Everyone, please give to the lockbox. Alan, don't we need an extra $133,000 to make up for the money being pulled from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? Yes, we do, Lou.
Is that how much we got?
No, no. In other words, it's $400,000.
Yeah.
And we divided that into three. Oh. In the first drive, we had a couple of extra days we asked for it. And one way or another, we're going to have to ask for it again.
You make a point.
The next $130,000.
That's right. In order to get to the... But not in the drive, and maybe a couple of days later, or maybe now. Depends. If we fill up the lockbox now, maybe we could do it over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But yes.
Maybe all those people who are listening who haven't...
And how do you go to the lockbox?
You go to WAMC. I'm glad you asked, Gray. You go to WAMC.org.
Yeah.
And it's really right there. You know,
right-hand side, there'll be a picture of a lockbox.
Yeah.
Which up till a few years ago was metaphorical. Now it's real. Now there's a real lockbox.
Right out in front here.
Yeah. Do you have the key?
What's the right
Somebody
answer?
Better have the key.
The treasurer has the key.
Oh, okay.
But also you can call, right, if you need to
Well,
call?
You can at 1-800-323-9262, and then just hit zero, and they'll be there.
Teresa's after Ray's job.
I think Teresa's doing a great job.
Yeah, she's doing the Ray roll here.
I believe investing in journalism right now and in public discussion of these issues, I really think it's... You know, part of preserving our democracy. I know it sounds hokey, but I really...
It doesn't sound hokey, and it's
really
so
true. I
really
think that we all have to work hard to preserve our democracy, and part of that is having an open conversation about some of these issues.
Where else
and
are you going
to And the
beauty
go? In America, we still can.
Yeah. Peter says, it seems like one of Trump's main priorities is to eradicate Obama's presidency. We heard that one already.
Right.
We
Kathy
agree.
Says, you ask what Trump is thinking by pulling out of the Paris Accords. The same thing he always thinks about himself. He is out for number one. He's 70 years old, figures he won't be around to have to deal with it. I don't agree with that. I think he thinks he's going to be around for a long time.
Right. And also Bannon is really pushing hard on this issue as well. This has been a big issue for Bannon for a long time.
John says, dear panel, I have only been able to stay balanced these past 5 months because of your program. The world is spinning out of control. I have given to the lockbox last week. I'm glad you are trying to get donations now. It means we'll be able to get back to regular programming quickly. Also wanted to ask if it is true that we will hold our seat in the table in regard to the Paris agreements until 2020. I believe it is. I believe we can't really get out until
right. It
until
takes
that
a long time.
Time.
And I wonder, could the governor of California take that seat at the table? I don't know.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We have to hear some news.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll get back to the letters. The email address is panel@wamc.org. Keep the letters brief if you could. And there is more roundtable panel ahead. It's good. It's good.
You won't turn the light on until you're... You were scatting, and I wanted them to turn it on so people could hear you
scatting.
Come on,
man. No. Yeah. That's basic. Yeah. I think it's a Neil Hefti arrangement, right?
Whatever you say.
Am I wrong about that? It's the Roundtable, 5 minutes after 10 o'clock, and boy, what a show we've had today.
And are we doing well in the lockbox? We're up to 443-115.
Wow, so that's great.
So
we're there.
About 50 what? 50? No, 50, we are not there.
56,000 to go.
What are you? We're not there. We got, you think?
56,000 people.
That's a lot of money.
56,000 people at a dollar is what you're saying. Okay.
Or there are other ways you could do that.
Yeah. Or, okay.
All right, just go on.
I never finished this letter, and I wanted to read it once more, to be fair. Dear panel, I've only been able to stay balanced these past five months because of your program. The world is spinning out of control. I've given to the lockbox last week. I'm glad you're trying to get donations now. It means we'll be able to get back to regular programming quickly. Also, wanted to ask if it was true that we will hold our seat at the table in regards to the Paris agreements until 2020. Well, the answer is sort of yes. Technically, we will, but if Trump keeps trying to destroy what we've come up with, that'll be different. Heard this on the news, and I'm praying it is true. I have kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids.
Oh.
I want them to be able to live, and that's from Esther. That's a terrific letter, isn't
nicely
it?
Done.
And then, is it possible, says Gary, that Trump is being petty and basing his decisions on undoing anything Obama did? Dorothy said, okay, do you think that it is possible that Trump wants to be removed from office? Because of his ego, he probably would not quit. He may realize that he is on his way, he's way over his head. Perhaps he's doing and saying outrageous things to incite his removal. Then he could rage against the injustice and his mind go out with his head held high. No, I don't agree with that. T says, Ray, it's great hearing you this time of day. I hope Joe is okay. Yeah, Joe is
Joe's
at a
good.
Very important meeting. For 3 days, as you know, he is the best.
The Bilderbergers.
The best book reviewer and interviewer in the country, and he's down with the. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but he's out down there getting more of these great interviews and everything else he's doing. It's wonderful.
Joe attended an event at the 92nd Street Y the other day. It was a David Letterman interviewing Al Franken.
Oh.
And I watched the video of it. It really was quite good, particularly if you like these guys. But at the end, near the end of the program, they had cards with questions from the audience.
Yeah.
And the first question was from Joe from Albany.
That's all right.
Oh, wow.
Ray,
what?
Oh, you did this. Oh, no. Okay. I hope Joe's doing okay. Tell those people to stop whining about the lockbox. I think reminding listeners frequently is preferable to halting all broadcasting to only fundraising.
Yeah, but dig it. Can I just
are
respond?
Are we doing that?
Can I respond just for a minute?
Yeah, please. But
we did this last time, and we're doing it now. We bring it into our regular programming, and hopefully an unobtrusive way, but we shortened the drive down to one day last time. And imagine, I don't know if you remember, listener, who wrote that, and we love you all the same.
Gee, yeah.
But some of these drives go 10 days. They go 12 days. That is nonstop fundraising. This drive went on-air drive went one day, and we're back to regular programming.
And did we speak about the Paris Accords all day today and Trump?
Yes,
and we're going to give some breaking news if you want some breaking news.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, feel free.
What's that?
President Trump temporarily waives law requiring U.S. to move embassy in Israel to Jerusalem, keeping embassy in Tel Aviv for now. AP
yeah.
As
just
we suspected
reports.
Another one of his promises gone
AP
wrong.
AP just reports, and interesting they do it now on the same day the climate
The king of Jordan asked him to do that. We do know that.
Yeah, well, we knew he had to do it, but he does it today. When we go. So, see, this is where you can get your breaking news at the same time you can invest in breaking news.
I understand your point, listener, but and I'm not getting.
Well,
on your case.
I think we may have misinterpreted what he was saying. Ray, it's great hearing you at the time of day. I hope Joe's doing okay.
No, that was a different one.
No, the same one. Tell those people to stop whining about the lockbox.
Oh, I see.
I think reminding listeners frequently is preferable to halting all broadcasting to only fundraise. I have dollars automatically deducted each month.
Oh, so he's on your side.
Oh, yes, okay. Yeah. No, I take it all back.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Trump is a
big
jerk.
Verbal hog.
Trump is a jerk. While I agree that Paris deal is important, let's not forget that he and his administration are beholden to Russia. I'm tired of waiting for all of them to be O-U-T. Thank you, and that's from T. Good
morning,
panel.
So how many people
panel.
Have called the White House today to say stay with the Paris Accord or call their senator or congressperson
urging
them.
Well, I can't do that because, you know.
No, not you. I'm talking about our listeners.
I'm the administrator of the company here.
So, our listeners.
I don't call people to do that. Good morning, panel. In the long run, it might be good that we withdraw from the Paris Accord. If we stay while Trump is in power, the Trump people have a seat at the table and would be able to block progress. If we leave, then the rest of the world can move forward without U.S. obstruction. Hopefully, we can rejoin at a later date once Trump leaves power. And Heather says, since Ira's on the program and is linked to the Daily Freeman, I have a question. The Saratogian and other papers in upstate carry a feature called Sound Off, where people can call in and leave anonymous comments that are published in the opinion pages. Most of these are hateful and many are inaccurate. How does one fight this? I have contacted editors, circulating a petition, written letters to the editor. We need less hate and personal attack in our community papers. And that's from Heather. What do you think, Ira?
I never liked the Sound Off feature. We never did it in Kingston. There are other places. We solicited public opinion in other ways, but I can't. Yeah, except those comments that go up on Facebook. And if you post on Facebook, you have to attach a real name.
Yeah, no, I think it's disgraceful. And I have a column in the Troy Record where they do it. It's one of my several.
Yeah, but
papers.
Sound Off used to be very, very popular. Our paper in New Haven used to do it. It was called Ed Note, and it would have these comments, and then some unnamed editor would write some snarky reply.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. Jane says, based on Trump's words and deeds as president, I've come to believe that he does nothing for the sake of his base. In other words, the coal country voters are the reason he opposes the climate change treaty. Instead, his behavior may be rooted in the humiliation dealt to him by Obama in 2011 White House Correspondents' Dinner. We've talked about that. Every destructive finger-in-the-face gesture he makes is aimed at Obama and what he believes is Obama's base and their values. That the man is that small. And that's from Jane. And from Shannon, it was explained on your station yesterday, you mean our station yesterday, that afternoon, that if Trump pulls us out of the Paris Agreement, it would not become official. That is a done deal until 2020. Is there anything that would stop the next president who will take office a few short months later from simply putting us back in? I don't think so.
Oh, Senate. Yeah. That is, clearly, the Senate is the thing that could change the president from doing that.
Yes, but also a new president could come back in and say, well, we're going to subscribe to that. After all, it's a voluntary agreement.
But if the Senate ratifies or does not ratify,
this is not a treaty. Remember, this is not a treaty.
But they put it up as a treaty.
If the Senate has to do this.
A bird flew through the room, a bird flew.
You know, you mentioned something that I think is interesting. The country is suffering, and the world as a result is suffering through whiplash right now because of how quickly and how determined Trump is to reverse Obama policies. If Trump is not reelected or for whatever reason is not in office and the Democrats come back in, we're going to hit whiplash the other way.
Yeah.
Well,
and I think
I think that is right, Ira.
Yeah, and now that we may...
I'm frankly worried about it.
Yes.
That some of the people who are on the left, will remind us of what the French Revolution was at a certain time. I'm worried about that. I think there is a possibility that there may be an overreaction.
Yeah, and the stability that I think our country would like to portray to the world will go out the window.
Well, it could be.
I think we really need to look, in this case, to business people on this issue and to governors, Democrats and Republicans, who are going to need to sustain the leadership on this. It won't make up completely for what Trump is doing on climate, but it will help to continue to make some progress on cutting emissions.
I've just read a summary, says Barbara, of the accords. It was easily understood. It is not onerous. It has small problems that can be resolved. However, as the climate change is the worst, causing our own coastal areas flood, low islands to disappear beneath a dead sea, will the USA accept the many disciplined people? Will we feed the starving? I think we know the answer to this from the current administration. The USA gives tax breaks to the companies that pollute, not to new emerging technologies that lessen the carbon footprint. Many companies and our own armed forces want to bring in new technologies to the forefront to preserve improvements to the climate. Oh, dear. It is not a bright outlook to our small spaceship called Mother Earth. What a mess, from Barbara.
Very important point, actually, in that not only... You know, the Paris Agreement focuses on reducing emissions and dealing with slowing the problem. But at the same time, you also have to be building resilience against the problem, which is you know, raising the walls in places like Miami and New Orleans and Manhattan and such, and dealing with all of the implications of a changing climate. And so if you believe, if the leader of the country says it's a hoax, climate change is a hoax, then you're
and
not...
And appoints a guy to the
and
EPA
a guy who says
a
it's
denier.
A hoax in the in energy department and such, then you're not taking all of the steps that you need to take in addition to lowering emissions, but to deal with the changes that are happening because of a changing climate.
The email address here is panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org.
Or you could go to wamc.org to put something in the lockbox.
Yeah, yes, you could. Where's the web address?
WAMC.org. Mm.
And where are we at in the lockbox?
Well, the last time we looked, and that was a little while ago, it was 443-115, which meant we had, what, 65 or something like
correct,
that?
Correct, sir. Yeah. Correct, sir. WAMC.org. It is 16 minutes after 10 o'clock. Hillary Clinton, the Blame-a-Palooza tour continues. She made an appearance at the Code Conference in California. She discussed her presidential campaign.
She didn't like the Democratic Party. She didn't like the New York Times. She didn't like Comey.
The Russian hackers, the fake news, anybody.
Will you give me a break?
And she takes responsibility for all of the decisions that were made in her campaign, but she does not acknowledge that any of them were wrong.
Yeah, how do you do that? You're the wonk. You tell us, Teresa.
What did she say that wasn't true? She said that the DNC...
Oh, the Democratic Party was not behind her.
She inherited nothing.
That's not what she said.
This is called biting the hand that fed him.
What did she say? She said, I'm sorry, I'm going to push back on this. If you look through the different things that she said that she was handed a Democratic Party that was bankrupt and they didn't have a database. And other people have said that that's true because what happened is, and he was criticized for this, President Obama did not focus a lot on the DNC. They had their own separate external operation where they kept, you know, they had very sophisticated databases and such. They created those outside of the DNC and they kept them outside of the DNC.
Yes, yes, I know. And I love and respect you, Teresa, and you know that, except that I have to say I'm not with you on this. She should have kept her mouth shut. Or as Mrs. Weingarten said to me in my math class, Shartok, keep shut. There are times that just shut up. And this does not make her look good.
Absolutely. And if she was smart, she would have followed the Obama campaign playbook, which was extremely successful in all kinds of media and other endeavors. And also, where was President Bill Clinton, who was said to be the smartest man in politics and was going to shepherd this campaign to the finish line?
Many report that if they followed his advice, they probably would have done better.
If the bird flew through the room, the bird would have flown.
Yeah, as a retired journalist, I'm very interested in theory in what a Hillary Clinton has to say about her campaign. She lost this what was going to be a landmark campaign in this country, and she lost to a guy who many people believe is totally unqualified. That said, I agree with Alan. The election is over. All she's doing is tying herself up in knots, and she's not doing the Democratic Party any favors going forward because all of those people who may have been wavering on Trump, who hated Hillary, are being reminded why they hated Hillary.
One other thing that I have to say. I have never seen anybody try harder to get elected than Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. They work their guts out. And she should be all over the place with appreciation for what they tried to do for her. I mean, they put everything on the line.
I'm surprised at the shots of the Democratic Party, because is this not the party that willfully subverted Bernie Sanders' run as a nominee? Is it not the same party? That the emails showed it.
It was quite
clear. Was that they rigged it?
Well, they subverted him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They felt that she was a stronger candidate,
yes,
and they focused
on
her. And remember, he was not a Democrat. He had been an independent
for
years.
She was favored over Hillary by the
because
over
thought she
Bernie.
Could win. They wanted to go with the person
well,
who
but
could
don't,
win.
Then
that
don't
made
turn
sense
around
to
and
do
say
do
the
that.
Democratic National Committee hurt my election.
And she didn't say. She said that she was handed
a
bankrupt DNC that they had to raise money for. And they didn't have a good database, and both of those things were true. But she also talked about, when she didn't speak, everybody said, oh, she's hiding in the woods. So she's at a conference, they ask her questions to do analysis on what happened.
For interrupting you, because we are running out of time. But if in fact she wanted to do some positive thinking, she could have done that in this interview, and she didn't do it.
Isn't it hilarious that she was at a code conference? The email server queen is at a code conference.
And
the irony is not lost, man.
And Andrea said, it is appalling that one man can make decisions for the entire country, decisions that make enormous impact on the entire world. Democracy or dictatorship, says Andrea. And Suzanne says, how about taking a break from the feds? Talk about it. Encourage your listeners to call the state senators, and particularly the Senate Health Committee, to bring the bill S-4840 to the floor for a vote. That's universal health care program, not dictated by the insurance companies. That's from Suzanne, and she's talking about New York State.
Alan, can I ask you, on the state level, I know in California, the AG's office has gotten a big boost in terms of more staff, more funding to deal with these climate and other issues.
Yeah.
And I don't know in New York State.
Well, I don't know, but all I know is that that we have a very good attorney general in New York State, and he is trying his best.
I wonder if he has the resources.
He's probably got a lot of resources. He's suing everybody in sight.
Because that will be really important.
And he's doing his thing.
That will be really important.
Ronald says, if Donald pulls out of the Paris Agreement, could a congressperson, woman or man, Democrat or Republican, not introduce a bill in Congress to reverse the move? If a climate bill was overwhelmingly approved by Congress and the Senate, Donald might then sign it. Yeah, these guys in the House of Representatives and Speaker Ryan are going to really do that. You know what I mean? No.
Well,
not.
One place you might see that, not in the treaty, but in the various programs, in the fuel economy standards, and whether or not you're going to fund something called ARPA-E, which is the research arm for an alternative clean energy and such.
You think the House of Representatives under Ryan's going to do that?
No, what I'm saying is that in these budget questions, that's where they can take action, and you'll want to look to see what side they're on.
All right, rapid fire here. Panel, Teresa Bourgeois, Kathy Griffin fired yesterday. Should she have kept her job?
Absolutely not.
Ira Fusco.
Well, she was fired from her CNN job.
For her New Year's Eve.
Still, you know, she will sell tickets to her comedy shows for people who like her. But I think she, unless somebody is brave like Colbert and puts her on, she's done on the networks. And it's amazing to me that she thought this was a stunt that was going to be favorable for her.
Okay, that was good.
Just to be clear, absolutely, yes,
I think
she
it got her back
fired.
into the mix. I do. I think she did that, and she took a calculated risk.
Should CNN have fired her from her New Year's Eve gig?
Yes.
She was lousy on it anyway.
Yes. I mean, why? You don't think so?
All right. Should Mr. Met be fired? Ira.
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Alan.
Yes.
Teresa.
No.
You know why? Because the Red Sox don't have a mascot.
And you'll never know who Mr. Met is, actually.
Right.
And there were a lot of other letters. Sorry we can't read them.
Yeah, but let's talk about quickly in the last minute and a half we have left about the important thing, and that is the fund drive that's coming up on Monday.
You speak with such incredible and unparalleled...
Is there a fund drive coming up?
Ira.
Monday morning. Okay.
Woke
if
him
you
up,
call
did we?
Right now till the end of the program here, you're going to get a pair of undated lawn passes for the fabulous Tanglewood. If you do 150, you get two pair. Thank God for Tanglewood. They're always here for us, and they are great partners.
Okay, and so that is only for a limited time. Why? Feeding the Lockbox, 100 for a pair of undated lawn at Tanglewood. This is for the Boston Symphony or Boston Pops concerts, and it includes Tanglewood on Parade, by the way, which is very popular.
Oh,
yeah,
it's terrific.
Well, no, what do they do? The musicians get in a parade and walk around?
No, but you get to hear the Tanglewood Orchestra, you know, the young people who are qualified.
Yeah.
Who are there, and they are great.
Where's the parade?
Some people think it's a second, long-standing thing. We have the one from 1942 in our bathroom, the program.
Wow. Believe it or not, I thought you had a parade from 1942 in your bathroom.
No, we have a parade to the bathroom.
I see.
So the motto there is, if you go to your house and use the facilities and you want to read current events, bring your own.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's call it there.
Let's call it
our moment of zen from Ira Fussfeld. Ira, thanks for being here today.
Sure.
Teresa Bourgeois,
she's
fabulous.
The best.
As always.
So glad to be here.
Shartok,
and I'm with
too.
Hillary. I'm still with her.
You are?
With Hillary?
In 2020?
Nevertheless, she persisted.
Nevertheless,
she persisted.
All right, fair enough.
I like Hillary, but she's got to cool it.
Oh, my goodness.
Enough.
All right,
we're done.
Yes, and on that happy note,
let's
just Rob the engineer, get me out of here.